It's good.
All right. Ready, Doug? All right. 8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Supervisors. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Byers, Setzer. Lytle's currently absent. I should probably check and see if he sent the text. Maybe he's, it's that time of year.
Pauline Green.
Yeah, railroad issues. Where's Rex? Railroad issues. Where's Rex when we need to fix that? All right. Next thing on the agenda is a consent agenda. That consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes from the meeting held October 30th, 2013, approve all claims through November 13th, 2013 in the amount of $365,536.42, approval and place on file all correspondence received, approve clerk of district court summary fee report and register deeds fee report for the month of October 2013, approve reappointing Kathy Setzer to the Blue Valley Community Action Board. Don and I put that on the weekend.
Yeah, thanks. I love to travel.
Number seven, receive County Treasurer's distress warrant listing of 2012 delinquent personal property taxes. Approve permit number 974 for Great Plains Communication, vibratory plow, and directional boring new fiber optic line located between sections 19 and 20. What I say?
You said 974, and this says 971.
Permit 971.
Okay.
And this is located between sections 19 and 20, Township 1 North, Range 7 East, Barnston Township. Approved permit 972 for Windstream, Nebraska, Inc., plow and backhoe new communications line located in sections 13 and 24, Township 6 North, Range 6 East, Highland Township, an approved permit 973 for Russell Wallman open trench for new irrigation line located in part of section 36, Township 5 North, Range 7 East, Hanover Township, and in part of section 31, Township 5 North, Range 8 East, and Hooker Township. That is the consent agenda 1 through 10. Need a motion to approve, disapprove.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Seeing none, vote. 6-0 to approve. Regular agenda. First thing is comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Nothing. We got the house torn down and filled in and looking good over there. Everything's good. And the highway department has looked at the land, too, as it's been packed in, so everything looking good. And I've walked it from one end to the other and haven't sunk into any holes. So I think we're doing okay, and everything's going okay on the winter lights. We'll be celebrating on the 24th, so anybody that can make it certainly would love to have you.
The open lot there, plans to put some rock down for that and kind of push that. What do we think on, I mean, it's open. It's got access right off the alley there. The pole's kind of, there's a pole that's kind of right in the way, but it looks like it's one of the, kind of a main line, so I don't know what we can do.
I think we were kind of waiting just to let things settle and what have you before we wanted to throw any rock and stuff on there. I think that was our general feeling at this point, not to get in too big a hurry. We don't have to have it at this point.
Well, Mark's always looking for places to park things, and so okay, all right. Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance and insurance?
Finance. So we gave everybody, Don got together our last resolution we had as far as salaries and passed that out to everybody for elected officials so that we can look at that. And then she also put together a sheet there, some comparabilities between our county, and these were the counties in our CIR comparables that we used that is on this sheet. There's also I think a lot of people got the one from NACO, and that used just a couple different counties on their 10 comparables. They went by population and something else with it in there. They used a couple different things for their comparabilities or whatever. So next committee meeting, we hope to start having discussion about what kind of proposals to come forward with. Matt gave me the one they used last time, and this was one of the proposals basically with a 2% increase every year. So we'll hopefully by next meeting we'll have some more back to report on that.
Human Resource, Employee Relations.
Everybody got their new draft copy of the Employee Handbook, so for some interesting reading over the next couple of weeks. Go through it, mark, highlight anything that you have a question about or think is not right or think is really great. Most of the changes or a lot of the changes are in different colors, so you can kind of tell what's changed from the last version to this. And then if we can get back to Don, anything that you have questions about, we would like to get this approved here very shortly.
So how about in 2 weeks we'll have an agenda item that just says specific discussion regarding this. We'll spend a little time. I guess it'll just kind of be open door, whatever you want to bring up. We'll leave it broad enough that there's something you want to bring up or talk about, and that way we can get some finality to this. Does that sound acceptable? Is that okay? Okay. So we'll put that on the agenda, just a discussion regarding Gage County Employee Handbook. So, law enforcement emergency management. I'll start.
Good.
Okay. I see Gus is here too. I handed out, I believe, everybody's sitting around here, including the media. We had a meeting, and Gus was there as well. And it's kind of a my version of minutes or press release, if you will. We met Myron and I and Gus met with Saline in Jefferson County regarding the jail. We met November 4th, drove over to Saline County, and Willis Ludke was good enough to bring kolaches, and so that was, you know, kind of break the ice there a little bit. I won't read it verbatim, but basically sit down here and step through kind of some of the things we talked about. One were the age and conditions of everybody's facility, our situation that we're in here with an old jail. We talked about some of the capacity issues. We talked about the availability of the volume that they could potentially handle over there. And at one point, we actually walked around the facility, and they had a 25-bed, 28-bed dorm that was the lights were shut off, and we could have taken everybody here and taken them over there. So we got a tour. So they've, at times, and they talked about their volume, obviously kind of ebbs and flows of the prisoners that they have. There are some infrastructure issues that we're all dealing with, buildings, roads, bridges, things like that, where it seems to be a little more acceptable for the public to like to spend dollars. There's a couple of courthouse issues that those two counties have to deal with, and they're concerned about how do they potentially do any sort of expansion or anything new. You know, I think there's a real concerted effort for all three counties to continue to have discussions and talk together, and if you know, the risk of taking the name from the school, there's kind of a tri-county correctional need there that I think we're able to continue to work with. So I thought it was a real positive conversation. You know, after visiting with Gus a little bit, and Myron afterwards, and the group of gentlemen that were there, I think we're probably looking in the future of doing something smaller here. You know, there's no timeline. I think we can probably look at a smaller facility, use some of our sentencings and higher capacity at some of the other outlying jails. There's not a real push, I believe, at the state level to build new jails, call it a pseudo-regional jail. I think there's probably a desire to do something small here, and Gus has talked very briefly about a 96-hour hold and how that would affect jail standards and what the type of facility needs are for a facility like that, how big it would need to be. So it was an initial conversation, and basically everybody was around the room shaking their heads saying, the three of us are going to work together, because I don't think there's a desire for Saline to do something new, Gage County to do something new, and Jefferson to do something new. It'll be some combination. We did talk about if for some reason we were to
close jails, what would that do to the capacity issue? There's just not enough room right now to, unfortunately, house as many people as we've got locked up. So that's it in a nutshell. It was the very first meeting, Myron. Yeah,
I'll just interject a little bit too. Everybody kind of visited about. We're not the only ones that the other two counties also have money issues, or whatever, however you want to phrase it, I guess, or whatever, you know. For instance, Saline Courthouse there, they have no hot water in their courthouse right now because they don't know where they have a leak in the pipes, and the pipe all go through up and down through the walls. They aren't where they can get to them, so they're trying to deal with that issue. And Terry's mentioned a time or two about Jefferson County and some of their – I mean, some of the things that we all have that are facing us as far as financial issues and stuff. And that's probably why this was kind of brought about, why – you know, some of the discussion, and is there enough interest, or is there something there we can work out and proceed forward or whatever. So it was even – I thought Gus was pretty well behaved that day. He didn't have as many comments or problems as the Jefferson County individual there or whatever, so he – and stuff. So I found the meeting interesting and hope to continue the conversations.
Gus, you going to share your perspectives, please?
Well, good morning. Well, there's probably not a lot I can fill in what you have said already. As you know, if we would do something scaled back here so we can be a little more efficient and putting prisoners somewhere else on a long-term hold, a lot of things don't come into play for jail standards. If we're going to go to a shorter-term facility, a lot of the standards go away. Recreational and visitation, grievance process, a lot of those things aren't requirements that I have like we have now. So there would be some impact for us there. I talked to Denny Maycomer, the chief head of the jail standard. He said he'd come down any time and sit down with us and explain exactly the pros and cons to doing that, so we'll have a good idea and a handle on what that'd be like down the road. So like Matt and Myron both said, I think it was a very positive meeting. I think everybody realizes they all have problems. And so this might be something we can kind of hammer out here down the road and benefit all of us. So,
yeah. And I would probably say we all sat around and thought, well, and I kind of alluded to that, or maybe put it actually here in writing, is that nobody believes the costs are going to go down. By all of us working together, we may be able to limit the rise in the rate of the increase. And so, you know, that's the state's doing their part. They're looking at taxation, and I think regionally we need to look. You know, we're having talks with the city about certain things. We're visiting with other counties. I just think that's going to be the new normal, is to try and see what you can work out together. So we'll continue those discussions unless somebody has a real aversion to that. We don't have any next meeting set up. You know, the corrections is and the operations is Gus's game. You know, we're responsible for the facility, so that's where we need to be engaged in that conversation. But, you know, we kind of left. And we'll keep talking and know that at some point, you know, we may see more people starting to go over there, but we may have to look at negotiating rates for different counties. And I would say they probably aren't going to be the only one we look at. You know, you want to be able to negotiate the best rate. But there are neighbors there. You know, there's in some cases, those three counties, us and the other two, is there's adjoining landowners, so there's mutual taxation benefit. People live one, they've got land in the other, so there's probably some benefit to continue that. So no real plans, no timeline, but I think there's, in the future, we probably, the three of us, will be doing something together. So.
And we aren't to the point. Saline County, they had a little story when they built their jail over there. I thought it was rather interesting. They had, the numbers were so tight, and when they had a person that they didn't have room for, they'd put him in a car and they'd take off driving down the interstate, he said. The one time, and they'd make phone calls to see who had room, and back then there were it was just tighter. The one time they got to Scott's Bluff before they found a place to house him. So, I mean, we aren't dealing with issues like that. Thank heavens we have people like Saline County, but there's more capacity around with Lincoln opening theirs right now. And
that's been a huge difference. I'm kind of on the top of the pile. I can kind of negotiate right now because I got people driving from Lexington to come out and pick prisoners up for free. And just charge me per diem.
Yeah.
So I kind of can do a lot of things right now. It's kind of fun to have that ability. So anyway.
All right. So we'll keep moving forward with that. We've got a timed event at 9 o'clock. It's 8:59. We'll go ahead and do our timed event just a little bit, a hair early here. This is our Veteran Honors Program. And I'll just, before we get started here, just to go back and recognize, just because we're just past Veterans Day here, we started this in April, and I'm just going to go back, if we've forgotten, just mention some of the names. Don McPherson is in April, Milton Husa in May, Everett McAtee in June, Herman Andreessen in July, Lyle Johnson in August, Frank Tim Jr. in September, Arnold Mainz in October. And I'll have the Veteran Service Officer come forward and introduce our Veteran of the Honors for this month.
Morning. It's my pleasure and honor at this time to introduce Harley Jackson. Just a little bit about Harley. I'll tell you what I know. I know Harley's got a lot more that he could tell you. But Harley enlisted in the United States Army Air Corps in February of 1941 and went to navigator school to become a navigator. He was discharged as an enlisted man on April 7th, 1944, and on April 8th of 1944, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Army Air Corps as a navigator. Shortly after, he was sent to Europe, and he was with the 484th Bomb Group, and he was a navigator on a B-24 Liberator. On August 20th, 1944, him and his crew had to bail out of their aircraft after they were hit, and Harley landed in enemy territory, had a broken back, and was taken to a POW camp, Stalag Luft 3, where he was held and recovered from his injuries somewhat. While he was there, of course, the war was coming on, and in January of 1945, the Russian troops were starting to move in, so the Germans decided they were going to move these troops from this prisoner of war camp in a little further into country. So it was the coldest time in the 20th century in Europe, and all these prisoners were set out on foot for a 50-mile march to the next to the Nuremberg, to the railroad station, where they were taken from there to the next prisoner of war camp. Spent the rest of his time there. They were rescued, and he was brought back to the United States and discharged in October of 1945. Some of the awards that Harley is awarded was the American Service Medal, the European Service Medal, the Air Medal with one oak leaf cluster, Purple Heart, and a Prisoner of War Medal. At this time, I'd like to introduce Harley Jackson.
Him. He knows me.
Yes, I do. I'm proud of you.
I'm at a loss for words, really, because it's all over with. Long time ago. Not forgotten. So, I appreciate this. I'll find someplace on the wall to hang it.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your service.
You're at least getting one of your own.
You remember, man?
Anyone like to comment on Mr. Jackson's behalf? It's just another wonderful citizen that served years ago, and I think it's very appropriate we remember that. Probably don't do it enough.
And he carried on that through his entire life.
I'll just have a couple comments here. After Harley returned back home, he continued his life in Gage County, carried mail for, I don't know, how many years was it, Harley?
How many years?
Mail? 40.
Twenty-eight and a half years.
Raised a great family, and he's very, very humble. To get Harley to truly say what he experienced is probably never going to be done, but we want to thank you very much.
Very nice. Okay. All right. We'll move forward then. Let's go back to Law Enforcement Committee. Gary, we talked a little bit about the meeting that Gus and Myron and I had with Selena in Jefferson County. If you want to comment on the meeting with the city.
Okay. We had the meeting yesterday morning with the city, and the people that were present were Chief Lang from the city police department, the mayor, Ted Fairbanks, and Dwight Party off the city council, and then also Chief Davidson from Wymore Police Department was also present. And we discussed the thought of melting the police department and the sheriff's department together, and kind of the idea, rough idea that Ted had brought to get forward was that there would be a board, so to speak, where part of the county board members and part of the city council would be on that board together to kind of oversee this public safety committee or group. And the idea behind it would have three different branches. There would be a law enforcement that would have a couple of leaders, and then the patrol officers. And then you'd also have the sheriff conducting his duties on another side, and then you'd also have the fire and EMS on another side of it. It's pretty rough idea. It was discussed pretty thoroughly. I don't know that there was a whole lot of support from the law enforcement officers that were there. Just they don't see the way that it would be able to function. Structurally, you know, at least there's a structure there you can look at. On paper, it looks like maybe it's something that you know, it's something we could work at and possibly doable. But when you come down to it, the law enforcement community didn't really see it as something that was possible to work. The discussion kind of moved from there at that point to, you know, is there other things that we can look at that we can do? You know, can this committee maybe have a committee between the county and the city just to meet occasionally, maybe once quarterly, to continue discussions? I guess that's kind of where we left it at, so we'd have this discussion here today. You know, we can discuss it and see where we want to move forward as a county board. City council was going to discuss it in their next meeting, kind of discuss it amongst themselves, and then see where they wanted to move forward. So I guess that's where we're at today. John, more particulars that I'm leaving out that we really should put on the table?
And some of that discussion moving forward was, you know, do we leave it as it is and discuss everything, including the combined merger, or do we limit that to jail issues and communication issues as to things we could do to improve those and work together on those?
Yeah, and probably before we really start to have too much discussion, it'd probably be a good idea to have Gus put his two cents in as to his thoughts on it. That way we're all aware of what Gus has to say, and then maybe we can kick it around a little bit, I guess, is my thought. Okay.
He's going to quit showing up. We keep pulling him up.
Well, I think it was, as Gary and John said, I think it was a pretty productive meeting. I think everybody walked out thinking it would be a good idea to meet again down the road. as you know, we've fought the issue for years. It's on the jail, and it's always been good to put to the agencies I've seen where both city and county go together. It's efficiency, and I think the mayor made note of that. It's maybe the funding wouldn't be such an issue, but the efficiency could be better down the road. And of course, those are dollar amounts that are going to be up there if you try to put everybody in the same building. One of the concerns that I have on the whole thing is I think when we years ago went to where we took over the city's jail and they took over communications, at that time it could have been a pretty good deal. I think as time's gone on, I think we're being left out a little bit on the side for the county as far as expenses. I think we have a lot more liability on our side with prisoners versus on the communication side. There's no doubt Chief's got a huge expense down there as well. But that is one thing that I want to make sure we walk through on and discuss that through this process. And I think Gary even touched base on that is something we do have to watch. Right now, we don't currently have the contract up and running for what we're going to do with the city on their prisoners. And that's something that I know Rogers looked through a contract and I drafted up, and we've talked about that. And there'll be things thrown out there as what we can do by statute, what we can't. But I think we still need to sit down and have that heart-to-heart talk with the city, because I think there's a lot more burden for the county than there is the city on this situation. So I really want us to proceed forward on it, but to keep that in mind. No matter what we do, we have to certainly keep that in mind. So, but I think it's a good idea to at least talk.
So I guess I don't hear, what I'm hearing is not a whole lot of support for or no one's come out for a complete revamping of our public safety, law enforcement. I just don't hear a resounding let's go with it. But what I do hear, which I think is good, is a desire to continue to visit with the city. I think that just makes sense. Why wouldn't we do that? Because I think there's some things that I don't know if it's low-hanging fruit, but there's things that we are working with them on that we need to continue that discussion with. But in fairness to Mr. Fairbanks or Councilman Fairbanks, I know the first meeting he said, let me know if you're really interested in this, because if we're really not, there's no sense going through the motions and going through all this work. But I think, if nothing else, the true merit has been showing that we can sit down with the city. We've done it in the past. We can continue to do that, and I think that's good. But I think we should probably give them some true and honest feedback. If we're really not interested in revamping and asking the sheriff to give up some statutory duties, we just need to tell them sooner than later. We're not interested in that, but we should continue going down this road. And I think that's what we need to give them the feedback on. I'm not trying to hang Gus out, but, asking the sheriff to give away some statutory responsibilities really is only as good as Gus is in office. Shall he decide to not run again, or someone should beat him in office, and the new person would come in and say, I'm not doing that. Statute says I can do these things. And my understanding is there isn't anything in state statute that allows you to rewrite everything and force the sheriff to do things a certain way. And that's just the system that we have now. But I would propose we continue to work with the city. It's always good, because there are things that we do need to visit with them on. But if we're not going to be interested in the public safety, we just need to come out and tell them. And I think that's just being straight and honest and fair. So, I'm not getting anybody in the public really excited about it. There's a few discussions, and I don't venture to see anyone's here super excited about it. But that's what I guess, give me some feedback.
Yeah. Matt, I think I agree with you that from the people I've talked to and from my understanding of it, I think that to merge the police and the sheriff and make one public safety officer isn't the way that that the people want to go. I think that especially the people outside of Beatrice feel that they would be shorted on their services. And I think that the discussion is great, but I believe that we should let them know that we aren't at this time interested in merging services.
Yes, one thing I'd like to add, and Kathy kind of brought it to attention. One of the things that Chief Davison brought up was sometimes the smaller communities feel slighted when something like this goes forward. Well, all the services are going to be towards the larger municipality, which in this case would be Beatrice, as opposed to the smaller communities. And when we had our original meeting on this, and they didn't get invited or whatever to the meeting, it was you know, it's kind of one of them deals where they felt like, well, you know, why, you know, we're not invited, we're not part of it, and probably in the end, we're probably not going to get any of the services either. And I, you know, truly, if this was something we all wanted to get behind, and let's be honest, if that man right there isn't totally acceptable and going rah-rah, let's go do this, it's going to be really hard for us as a county board to move forward and do it. And I don't get that sense from Gus at this point. So I really just don't see any way we can move forward. But I guess the thing is I do see a way where this could work to where there might be a chance that we'd be able to have more law enforcement on the road that would actually be able to hit some of them places more often, but it would be something we'd have to work into this process. It is actually something that possibly could. I mean, it would take several different avenues to get there to actually do that, and we weren't anywhere near the point in that discussion where we could get there. But, I mean, that possibility could be there in this process, but like I said, it's pretty complex, and in order to get all the way there, you really have to dedicate yourself to it and try and make it work. And I just don't know that that's, like you said, I just don't see the support for it, for something that might be an experiment. So,
well, like I told Ted, when you start trying to do things different with statutory requirements for the elected official, which would be the sheriff, that's something that has to be done by the legislature. I don't think that's something the city and county can MOU away. I think I'm correct in saying that. So that's one of the things I'm most reluctant on, is there's already a push across country to do away with the sheriff's departments or sheriff's position. And I just think in Nebraska, to start doing that would not be a good thing, because that takes away from the people having a say in that position. So that's what I was trying to tell Ted before, when we had some sidebars, is to start messing around with statutory requirements, that's something that's above and beyond us here. So that was my thought anyway on it.
So I don't think anyone here wants to stifle any good ideas. You know, it's good to sit down, and if nothing else, you know, we're continuing some different conversations. But,
you know. And we work together already with the city, as I think brought up that meeting. We have a couple different MOUs, the chief and I do, and stuff. So we back each other up the way it is. So it's... We both agree there that I think we're working very well together right now and helping each other out. So,
and there was a lot of good discussion between Gus and the two police chiefs of how they cooperate and back each other up. And, you know, it was good on my part to hear it, and good to know that that's out there.
Yeah, it happens more often than people realize.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I think Chris was at the meeting, Mr. Dunker was at the meeting, and I think it's something we all... I guess it was good for us all to hear how the law enforcement community does support each other, and there is a lot of working behind the scenes to help each other get the process done. So,
absolutely,
and I think you guys should be commended for that too.
Yep. Sure. Anything else for law enforcement?
Yeah. Just briefly talked on. Mark was. Basically, our whole meeting Monday on a committee meeting was with Mark and some of the communications issues that the department's having in the county. And Mark has been out visiting with other counties and has gotten a quote from Motorola. And Motorola, I understand their quote, not their, he hasn't gotten a quote. Yeah, he's got a quote from them, but it's through the state bid process. So it's kind of a pretty solid figure about what it would take to upgrade our communication system, and one of these meetings we're planning on having Mark here to delve into this a lot more. But we're looking at pretty substantial number as far as the price to upgrade this. The last time it was done, I believe, it was 13 years ago, and I thought he said 70 or 80,000 at that time to bring it up to it, and we're talking more than twice that much. And it's something that, according to Mark, we're probably not able to extend this on until next year's budget. We may have to be dealing with this in the next couple, 3 months. So just wanted to, and Gary, you comment more on it, but just bring everybody up to that. We did talk a little bit about it at Finance Committee and the cost and what we're looking at and stuff. So,
right. And I guess where we kind of left it at was that we needed, there was two different when we had the discussion, what, a month ago, Myron and John,
yeah.
it was kind of the idea that we could go this route or we could go this route. And we kind of left it at the meeting with Mark was that he's got this route. He's got a bid on it, a price on it. We really need to know what our cost would be to go this way. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of left it with Mark that we need to get this one coming at us. That way we got both prices we can look at and then have an open discussion here as to where we want to go and how we want to proceed. But I think that's where we're at this point. It's not something we can wait around on. Maybe we'll be able to work it, you know, at this point we're already looking at probably December, January. Maybe there's some way we can push that off to next budget year, but we'll just have to see. It is something that's very crucial, and I don't know if everybody understands completely how important this is and critical.
And one of the things that's a really big issue is the system we have right now, the company that installed it, and Schaefer's had an individual that has always been working on this. Well, Mark found out he retired. Well, since then, Mark's found out he's retired quite a few years ago, and he's just doing this on off days to come down to help us. So one of these days, we're just done. I mean, you know, and stuff. So, I mean, there's some pressing issues, but I think the communications, particularly for our sheriff and our deputies, when they're out in the county and they're not able to communicate back and forth, sometime here we could come into something that liability or just safety reasons, and Mark's mentioned that a couple of times too, safety, and it's going to be something that we're looking at and critical that we get it done.
Yeah, and I guess the other problem that we have also with this system, which is something we've learned here recently, is that we have one of our sites that is actually a private-owned site, and we have no way, we don't have a key to it. And if something goes wrong with this site, they will not allow us on the site without them being present. And on a weekend or whatever, if we have a communication issue, getting into this site is really almost impossible. So moving forward with one of these other processes, we can hopefully get away from that private site to where we'll be able to put all of our equipment like water towers or wherever, where we got least area that we can access it at all hours. So it's been quite eye-opening. But I guess my thought is at this point that we'll discuss this again next committee meeting, and at the next board meeting we'll have both them bids. Mark will be here. We'll be able to discuss this very thoroughly and hopefully get moving down that road. Yeah.
Anything else? Would you like to comment?
Yeah, I would. Just share some of the things. I got some positive, I got some neutral, and I got some negative. But I do want to compliment you guys for at least sitting down and talking about it. Most importantly, we're going to have to find different ways to provide governmental functions to rural areas in America. It's just getting more and more difficult to do it. And it's changing, and it's going to change. I just can't put my finger on exactly when it's going to happen. Matt, you mentioned, you know, we have county and city government. I'm a firm believer we need local government. We need to do it together where we can do it. We need to do it as cost effectively as we can. Oftentimes, you may not realize cost effectiveness, but you get a better service. And until you analyze something in enough detail to understand that, you're always going to get comments like, well, the law enforcement people don't agree with merging. Absolutely. They got a significant conflict of interest. It's their jobs. But they should have input. You should listen to it. But just remember, they have conflicts. I get disgusted when I hear a comment like, well, somebody in a rural community, believes that, for better example, Beatrice is going to take everything. Like heck, there's a governing board over the top that makes those decisions. How can we not believe that? You make a comment, well, we don't know how it structurally works. Hey, there's a lot of places across the United States where there are joint uniformed laws. Go ask somebody. Don't ask the officials. Go down, get your analysis from the working people in that. If they like the system, you'll know it's good. Ask the citizens, but you got to get down to the heartbeat of what the people. Somebody said, well, the people aren't excited about it. Heck, we can't get them excited about higher taxes in America. We can't get them excited about Obamacare. How are you going to get the general citizenry excited about making a major change? I don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent, but, Matt, I like your comment about you're going to continue to look for avenues down that way. We may not find it. Somebody may find it someplace else, and we can emulate it. But the point is you got to be visionary, and you got to be trying. You can't continue to rely on the old methods. Old methods are just that. They're old. If there had been a better method then, they would have chose it. But right now we're getting in an era where there's going to be more opportunities. Technology, computers, you name it, the world's changing fast. Just try to keep as open a mind as you can about it. You'll never know. If you were to change it, 3 weeks later, most citizens wouldn't even know that it changed. Somebody told me one time, 100 years from now, nobody will really care. Thank you for your comments.
Terry, law enforcement?
Bridge.
Road and Bridge? I don't want to go back over to Road and Bridge.
All right, Road and Bridge. During our committee meeting, Wymore Bridge, there's been a change order. The railroad tracks where the two approaches were going to be poured, the elevations changed on the track area just to lower it down, make a more even approach to the bridge itself. Philly Bridge, the right-of-way is staked. Culverts on the Adams-Philly Road will be delivered on the 8th, 11-8, according to my sheet here, and more of them delivered next week. Galen has said he will probably wait to put those in place until next spring.
No, just the Philly one, right? You put in one or the other, one of them already, haven't you?
The Philly project.
The Philly project, he'll wait until next spring.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Philly Adams.
Just that little bridge, 3/4 mile north of Philly, that culvert he's going to wait to put in until next spring.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah.
The others, some of the others have been delivered, and they're, you're working on those and have been working on those. I think you had one or two in already. Right, but that Philly one, because of the road and the settling and not he's going to wait until, and the rest of the project on that road, they decided to wait with that one that's about 3/4 mile north of Philly. Yep. That one they'll wait till next spring. Yep. The culvert will be delivered, but wait. Yep.
Preferably we was going to try and get them done this fall. Weather, the way it's been, you know, it isn't going to work out. So with the traffic that road receives, if you have one of those culverts taken out and all of a sudden you get big rainstorm, you know, we got trouble.
Yeah.
If you can't get it back in place. So that's the main
if the road was closed all winter because of that culvert, Galen thought he'd have to move.
Yeah.
Doing Terry's district.
Later on in the meeting where we have on the agenda the 2 miles, that extra 2 mile road bond project up for bid. Specifications Matt has in his hand now. Deborah attended weed conference this past week. We'll be taking applicator's license test. Bridge deck. Gainer's working arm or coating projects for next year. He has the segments picked out that we're going to armor coat for next year. So we'll be hopefully looking at maybe doing a few bids on that or see where we're at on that cost-wise. So, anything else?
Is that it?
Yep.
Well, let's roll right into a conversation because she's an employee that works down there at the Highway Department related to road and bridges. We'll talk about our building permit process. We met Thursday? Friday? Who was that?
Thursday.
Lisa Wiegand and Galen and Road and Bridge, and actually John wasn't there, was John? And Gary was there, and Lisa Wiegand, did I say that already? Nancy, we visited about the building permit process and the zoning administrator and how that works. There's been some comments we've had about some of the timeliness of getting a building permit and wanted to better understand that structure. I know that a couple years ago we gave that to Nancy and said, here, we want you to do this. Here's another duty that you can, you got broad shoulders, we want you to do this. And so I think it's, you know, we've had some feedback and it's time to go back and reinvestigate how that's working and maybe have them who work in that better educate us on what some of the needs are. And so we've looked at making some changes and modifications to be a little more responsive to the public and to the workflow. And we also know that we're going to have to ask the citizenry for a little more responsibility on their end, too, because they play a role in this in helping this process go smoothly. So we had a good discussion. Nancy, if you want to come up and for the record, kind of talk about, you know, we talked, and Terry had a great idea. We're going to start. Terry can talk about that to help get some of the setbacks measured. So just kind of want to let you know some of the modifications and things that will change with regard to the permitting process. Nancy.
Basically, what we're going to do is from the time that an individual comes in and gets a permit, we're going to give them the stakes because it has to be staked before I can go out and measure it. And we're going to give them 10 days.
Now, and as we step through this, pardon, I'm not trying to be offensive. My remediality to explain this is one of the criticisms that we've had is, well, I don't have my building permit. Well, there have been times where Nancy's gone out there to stake it or to measure the setbacks based on the regulations, and there's no stake. So then she's got to go on and do something else. Well, maybe it's the next day that stake shows up, but she's already down to this next permit. So she's got a stack of permits like this, and when she goes out there, it really needs to be there. So we'll put the onus on them, you got to have this. So that's why we came up with more of a timeline.
And we've decided that if it's not there within the 10 days, then the permit goes to the bottom of the list. And we've had a discussion with our sign techs that they're going to help go out and measure.
Suggestion Terry brought up. Which I thought was excellent.
In that being said, Nancy's job down there is not only that. I mean, she has to deal with the rest of the county township officials and everything. So on certain days, her hours aren't enough in the day to get done what she has to get done. A major part of her time is measuring setbacks. That was her requirement. So I asked her, I said, well, if you didn't have to go back and measure the setbacks and all these building permits, would that help you out? She said, immensely. So with that being said, we have two sign techs down there, one that does the south half of the county and one that does the north half of the county. They're very familiar with all the surroundings they're at all the time. So Galen's talked to both. And their role will be, Nancy will say, don't make a special trip. But when you're out there flagging, staking for gravel, whatever you're doing, if you go buy this building permit on this gentleman's property or people's property, stop, measure the setback for me, report back to me, and make sure it's okay. So that'll take a little bit of the load off her as far as her measurement requirements. In essence, I think it should be a cost savings because Nancy will not have to run that throughout the county anymore, whereas we got the sign techs that are probably going by that location, you know, in a week's time. I would guess they would be real close to where they have to be. So hopefully, doesn't say it very often, hoping this will save us a little money by doing it this way, and it'll speed up the process, I think, immensely. So.
But just to remind people when they need a permit, like if they're building a barbed wire fence, no permit, but, I mean, people.
Well, as far as the fences, that depends on what type of fence they're putting up. Because if it's going to obstruct the vision, then they do have to meet the setback. If it's a barbed wire fence, no.
No. like on buildings and houses? I mean, some people are assuming that they don't need a permit for certain things.
Any new construction or remodeling, anything that's visible from outside needs a permit.
And they get those at the highway department. That's
right.
Where they check in.
It's right. The responsibility of the landowner,
yes. And we
not
did
the
put
contractor,
notice,
not the plumber. Not, it's,
we did put notices in with the tax statements.
And that's typically the way people are notified.
Mm-hmm.
Like Terry said, he doesn't even open his tax statements. He just lets them sit there. He's got all kinds of construction around his place with no permits.
But sometimes we have people that come in from a different county or sometimes somebody that's not familiar with it or a different state or something. They'd have maybe some different things, you know, that and they just assume, we never had to have one before at the old place. Why do I need one here? And no, the guidelines are that new construction or
any new or
model,
additions,
yes.
Right.
They do need a building
right.
Permit.
The nice thing about this location also, that office is open 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. So, you know, the excuse can't be made that, you know, nobody's there, I can't get a permit. So usually during that time frame, if somebody needs to get a permit or do something, somebody should be there to take care of it.
And we don't accept faxes, emails.
No.
It's got to be face-to-face person. And some people say, well, in this age, why would you do that? Well, there's some questions that are better answered face-to-face to clarify. I don't think we should go completely away from that and be a bunch of drones.
And that was brought up to our zoning board and our legal counsel, that we decided that we have to have originals. No faxes or emails accepted.
So I thought it was yes, sir.
One more thing I will mention. The thing that does slow that up a little bit is when Nancy gives them the application, there's a line up there that says cost. Okay, a lot of people aren't ready to put that figure in at that minute, so they take the paperwork home with them. They have the building permit per se, but they don't have it finalized. They don't really know what the cost in the end will be, probably. I can see that. But
no, it's just an estimate.
It's an estimate. But, I mean, I think, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of people don't have that figure
right.
When they come in. So take the paperwork back home. A lot of times it doesn't get back, too. Although they've been in there for building permit, they don't have the total cost of the project yet. So that slows it up a little bit, too.
But then you don't set the evaluation on it. These all get turned over to the assessor's office.
The only thing we set is on the homes.
On the home, because
we have to have a copy of the floor plans that shows the square footage.
Right. Yes.
And then that's how we base our estimation.
But the assessor's office still goes out and
right.
And they
right.
They get all the paperwork
right.
And they still go out and do the evaluation
right.
In conjunction with you, but they're the ones that actually will set it and stuff. So people sometimes, I think they have the feeling when they come in there, that price they put down, that's it, you know, on the valuation. Well, no, for somebody from the assessor's office, say, for instance, a shed or whatever, they'll go out there, and then that's how it's determined later on and
right.
Stuff. So.
So this is a change in response to some feedback, and we'll see how this goes. You know, it'll take a little bit to bring everybody up to speed because it's a change, but hopefully this makes things move a little smoother. Okay. We'll see how it goes. We'll kind of regroup. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It wasn't that bad, Nancy.
Not
that bad. Gary left you alone.
This time.
Excuse me.
Yes. Yeah, this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We'll jump right in then to what Supervisor Juergens talked about is a motion to approve or disapprove specifications and calling for bids for the Gage County 2 miles of asphalt or concrete road segment, and these bids to be opened December 11th, 2013 at 9:15 a.m. Need a motion to approve or disapprove approving specs and calling for bids.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Discussion. They're here. Approved by Minnelli. Seen by the Highway Department. And again, this is asphalt and or concrete. That's what both of these are. So if you'd like to read the specifications, pull up, put your engineering cap on, you're more than welcome to do that. But
everyone wants to see it before we take action, but it is here, and it, again, has been seen by a consulting engineer in the Highway Department. Yes, sir.
Just briefly, Matt, there are two different proposals in there, one for concrete and one for asphalt or blacktop road. Also, and Galen spoke to this, that road will, under construction, that road will be closed when they're doing the construction on this road, this particular two-mile stretch. It's a little different than the last one. We'll see how close the two bids are on that. I'm just curious how they do come out. They say that the, I mean, years ago, the asphalt blacktop was a lot cheaper to put down than the concrete. Now they've kind of evened up. They're real close on price, so we'll see where that leads us. So,
how many homes are along there? Is there three? Two or three? Okay. We have motion and a second. Any further discussion? Vote? 7-0. 6-0. Sorry. All right. Next is approve or disapprove a service agreement with General Fire and Safety for the maintenance of fire protection equipment.
Pretty standard. Jonesy, you want to anything?
Good morning. This would be the required testing of the new fire suppression system that we just installed in the data room. It would be a different type of testing than what the sprinklers are. They would come down and test this twice a year.
$325.
Just a one-year contract?
It's a three-year contract.
Three-year. Okay.
Was it the sprinkler head that was leaking? It's been about a year ago, or was that part of the geothermal system? What was that?
No, that was we had one sprinkler head that leaked in registered deeds, and that was still, while it was new enough, they came down and just replaced that head.
Is there anything in this maintenance agreement that would allow, if we were to produce another leak, with that?
Well, this would be just the chemical suppression system in the data room only.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
And I would move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second, or by Hill for the discussion. Vote 6-0 to approve.
Thank you, Dave.
Next is a motion to approve or disapprove EMS agreement between Cortland Rural Fire Board and Gage County. EMS agreement. Motion. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Discussion. This is the last one, I believe, our EMS agreements.
And this one, too, it has to go through. There's Cortland Rural Fire Board with their under, so it takes an extra layer of discussion or whatever. That's why, I'm guessing that's why it probably took a little bit longer to get back here. But
6-0 to approve. Anything else?
Yeah, I got a quick forgot to comment on Engage. We do have our meeting got changed, and I think maybe, I know Doug was notified. I hope Scott was notified, too. It's Tuesday the 19th at 5 o'clock because of things going on Thursday with some people. We changed it to then. And we'll be talking about an interim director or advertising for a permanent executive director. And had some conversation with the people from Smart Solution, Bob Hemmingson and Clark Smith. And one of those will be at our meeting to visit and see how they visited about what all has gone on. And they just they're not charging us for this. They're coming back and just visiting with the board. And they also do have some things where they help put a temporary director in and things like that. So they'll just visit with that about that. But they're also they wanted to come and visit us about with our plan and how we're doing on that and just whatever conversation we have. So one of those will be at the meeting on Tuesday. So
has there been any preliminary discussion of whether or not it will be a search firm or will be handled internally? None of that.
No discussion on that or whatever. That we haven't. Smart Solution, naturally, they would like to help again,
sure,
for a fee and all that. But we haven't even had a discussion of that with Smart Solution or whatever. I know there's other people out there, too. And then, so you know, there's a conversation. I know here a month ago or whatever, we needed somebody local the next time. And then do you go nationally or not? And, I mean, so those will probably all be handled again. We'll have that type of discussion on all those and stuff. So,
NDED have any resources for that, I wonder? Nebraska Department of Economic. They don't probably don't help us small locals with searches.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm just curious. Because I show up at the meeting, I can ask those questions.
Yes.
You're asking the wrong guy here.
Okay, so, well, I don't think. Okay. All right. Anything else? If not, we're going to go into a closed session to give an update and discuss litigation necessary for the protection of public interest and or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual, and we will have action afterwards.
I would move we're going to closed session.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Dorn.
Oh, those people are never saying nothing before.
Your tea holding out?
Six, Martin.
I'll be right back.
Need a soda?
Quick little break.
Come back again, right, Scott, anytime.
I'll tell you. Hold on.
I would move we come out of closed session.
10:06. Denny's made a motion to come out of closed session.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Vote. 6-0. All right. I need a motion to approve or disapprove a payment settlement with Scott Enterprises. This was the company that did the slate roof for the county in the amount of $18,038.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. I'll just state that this is, we had made one previous payment last fiscal year in the amount of $18,099.04. This is a portion that was agreed upon. The total amount then paid would be $36,137.04, if my math is correct. Any other discussion or comments? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second. Vote 6-0 to approve. All right. Anything else? No? All right. We'll be adjourned. Regular board meeting at 10:07. Good rest of the week.